When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Christmas. Just sing along.
Christmas.
That's the best part.
Christmas.
You just sing Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah, alright.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Football Friday.
Electric.
It is electric.
All right, it is the best one. All right.
Yes, thank you.
It's the best one.
Thank you. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. By Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
I looked it up, by the way, from last segment. The Sabres' best record at home in the East is against Toronto. 16-7-2 during the drought.
Okay.
And they play tonight, 7 o'clock. But you get fired up. There's an atmosphere.
Road game.
Yeah, you play with a little angry attitude maybe because your building's been taken over. I don't know. Eichel used to get that way. He used to tell Leaf fans to sit down, and he'd be fired up for those.
He would. So, yeah, you've got that going for you. It's cold outside. Snowy outside, cold outside. Also, first got reports of this from neighbors and guys on the street, and also now I've seen the news. A garbage truck hit the Colvin underpass train bridge near Linden, and as a result of that there was also a mild explosion that caused windows in nearby buildings to blow out.
Wow. So, okay, avoid, North Buffalo, yeah.
Yes, North Buffalo. Avoid Colvin near Linden, like pretty much right near Nichols if you're in that neighborhood. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that's wild.
Yes. It is Football Friday here on WGR, the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy in just a moment. You have any hardcore tips for staying warm? So it's going to be about 17 degrees, wind not expected to be a factor. Mm. It's also not expected to be wet, so that's good news. Like, you're just going to be cold if you go to this game and you're out in the elements. For me, I made an investment for the – it might have been for the Patriots. No, it was the playoff game. It was the perfect game when it was supposed to be, -8. I bought a bunch of gear that day, and I have not been afraid of a game since because I got the right gear. It comes down to the right gear for games like this. Arctic Extreme bib and jacket and good socks, not too many layers of socks. That's important. Muck boots. Somebody told me muck boots. I swear by the muck boots, too.
Muck boots is good. I wear snowmobile boots, but pretty much probably the same. Same, going for the same thing. I would just always say, like, you can never layer up enough. Because just if you're, what are you going to be, too warm? If you're too warm, like, take a layer off while you're there. I'll always go over the top, layering up, and then I'll figure it out once I get there if I need to change things up a little bit. Yeah. So that's always my tip. Like, I don't know. I feel like that is often whenever, like, I have a buddy that, like, is cold. I'm like, well, dude, you're wearing a sweatshirt and a t-shirt under your jacket. Like, throw an extra long sleeve shirt on there. Throw one of those thermal, like, ones that are almost like a bodysuit underneath at the base. Like, just, you know, you can't layer up enough.
Speaking of Christmas carols and Christmas music, I feel like last year I'm having a flashback. Last year at this time, I've got my kids the school concert where they're going to sing the hits, but it's like the three and four year old hits.
Yeah.
So it's not Baby Please Come Home. It's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Frosty,
possibly. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the Jingle Bells?
Jingle Bells, yeah.
Yeah. The Mount Rushmore of the 3 and 4 year old music songs, as opposed to, you know, we're not getting Wham's Last Christmas, I don't think. Although if we did,
Christmas Tree Farm by Taylor Swift, that's not going to be on the docket.
I'd be into it. I would be into both. No, I don't think so. I know Rudolph because the kids have been walking around singing Rudolph for the last couple days, so I'm expecting that to be on the docket.
What about the 12 Days of Christmas? Is that too complicated?
Yes. Who likes that? That's a bad song.
What?
That's a bad song.
Terrible take. Why is it a bad song? It's everyone knows it. It's
you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Run through them. 12 what?
Well, I would need it to be playing, I think, right now.
On
the 12th day of Christmas.
You need to hear
a partridge in a pear tree.
And then two turtle doves. Three French hens.
Yeah. See, Josh knows.
I was just at five golden rings. I just heard it. Like, the Christmas
you skipped four.
Concert was the other
Go
night.
To four.
That's
four
just,
what?
I was just excited to get to five.
Four what? Calling birds.
Okay. Five golden rings. Six.
Geese a laying?
No. Seven?
Something's geese a laying.
Six geese a laying.
Seven?
Seven swans a swaying.
Swimming.
Swimming?
Eight?
Not swaying?
Eight maids milking.
Nine
ladies dancing.
Yeah, ten. That sounds right.
10 lords leaping.
11.
Pipers piping.
12.
Drummers drumming.
There you go. I'm glad Josh took over.
Like
I would
said,
not have
I
got
just
all
heard
those.
It the other night, so I should probably know it.
He did great. I would not have done that well. I'm glad he stepped in there for me.
It was weird doing it in reverse order, though, because usually you hear it the other way. You don't do it 1 to 12. You do it 12 to 1.
Usually what you do when you sing that song or know that song is you don't know it, and it turns into a game of memory.
What's wrong with that?
It's not a good song.
Gotta keep your brain sharp.
It's tedious. It's long. It's repetitive.
How long is it? I mean, it's probably the same as like all these songs, isn't it? Except for Jingle Bells, just like 40 seconds.
It is tedious and terrible.
Tedious and terrible?
Yes.
Come on. It's who also, you know, this. Who, I'm trying to think. What's the? I don't want to give you more, stock here for this take, but. A lot of these songs, there's like a number one. There's a memorable, like, you know, person who sung each of these. And I'm trying to think of, like, who is the person for the 12 Days of Christmas? Like, who is the one that sung that?
Right. Or it has, like, a spot in a film where you think about it.
Because I don't like my ally on Google right now when I search the song and the first one that came up was The Wiggles.
There's also the Muppets version, but that's, like, different.
Yeah. No, I'll defend this song. It's what's wrong with a game of memory? Mix it in. You're fine.
Well, at Wikipedia.com, I'm seeing variations on this.
Okay.
Like, Four Calling Birds is originally Four Collie Birds.
Collie Birds?
Yes, what's a collie bird?
What's a collie bird? I'm glad you asked. According to Wikipedia, it's like a coal black bird. English expression for coal black, meaning it's a collie bird is a black bird.
Okay.
There's also canary birds. There's, instead of a partridge in a pear tree, a part of a juniper tree.
Yep.
There's a partridge tree. There's hares a-running in one version, eight hares a-running. There's ducks quacking in some of these.
Yeah.
I mean, this lambs a-bleeding. I want lambs
bleeding. Lambs bleeding?
Yeah, lambs a-bleeding.
You also have the classic Bills iteration of this song. With
now,
the,
that's a winner.
The drought Bills. I mean,
a winner.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great iteration of it. Robert Royal involved.
Langston Walker's in that one.
Langston Walker, okay. Was Marshawn Lynch maybe in it somewhere?
Meanwhile, the Bills did one more recently, because here's one with 2020 with Alan McDermott and Trey White.
Yeah.
But the drought one is the winner. That's the right one.
Yeah, the drought one with, I'm watching it, George Wilson. Looks like he leads things off. Donald Jones, of course. I don't know who this player is. This is the game of memory. Figuring out drought Bills just by their face.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the Super Great American Football Friday, friends. He ripped through the games. It's, of course, fantasy football, playoffs, and, maybe you got some money on the line, you got some pride in the line, some bragging rights, whatever it is. Let's rip through the games with the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy.
Football!
Super, super, great, great American Football Friday Frenzy.
All right. Should people have started Gus Edwards last night? Is he a start?
Not in a semi. Like I. No, I mean you could have got there if you had injuries, but unless that was happening, like I wouldn't have been running. I would have been worried about the backup Vidal kind of getting in there and taking more and more work. So, no, I got a good defense. You could have, but I wouldn't have been advocating for it.
Yeah. Well, the Gus bus went for two touchdowns, and he broke a long run as well.
I was gonna say, like, he really wasn't that good in the game. He had one run before that 43-yard run. He had 13 carries for 25 yards. Like, he was not very good otherwise. But he got in the end zone twice too. So
yep.
You were happy.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't happy. I traded him.
Okay.
In a rebuild.
Yeah.
Okay, he was like my sending off, what, think of the Sabres here, trading Nate Beaulieu at the deadline.
Wow.
How about that poll for you?
What is, man.
Sorry. Give me
a breath.
Nathan Beaulieu. To Winnipeg. Yep.
You remember where he got traded?
Yeah,
I don't remember where he got traded.
I'm pretty sure he got traded to Winnipeg for a fifth. I could be wrong.
Sure they did a lot with it.
Yes, right. All right, on to the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. So good luck in your fantasy playoffs, unless you're playing me, and then I hope you lose.
So Mike Shope, you're hoping
Mike Shope, I hope you lose. Yeah, that's right. But he's got lots of leagues. He doesn't need this one.
Yeah, but how many would he be in, like, the semis of? Like, six?
Plenty. Rams at Jets. Kevin Harlan and Trent Green on the call of that one. Rams at Jets. The Rams are, here's a take for you. The Rams are what people are afraid the Bengals might be.
How's okay. That?
They are actually likely to make the playoffs and could be dangerous. We're injured all year, have some playmakers on defense, not a great defense, but some playmakers on defense, and the Rams could get in and make a little bit of noise.
They are the big team this week, I think, in the playoff leverage charts. If they win, they have this is from Nick Esposito, Next Gen Stats. He has the Rams at 67% to make the playoffs if they win, and 43% if they lose. So actually, maybe not like the biggest in the league this week, but I mean a 20%, difference.
Listen, the NFC West is the one division, maybe the South a little bit too, but like Rams play the Jets, and then they finish Cardinals and Seahawks. In this division, it's 8-6 Rams, 8-6 Seahawks, 7-7 Cardinals, 6-8 Niners.
Yeah.
So that race is far from over. Rams could really use it.
I think the Niners are actually dead, though, because the other teams play each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, so Rams at Jets. Rams need it. We'll see if the Jets can, you know.
Rodgers is playing well right now.
He is playing better, and Davante Adams has been a big part of that.
Yeah.
So, all right, Rams-Jets. Cleveland-Cincinnati. I just want one thing out of this game for, you know, like a league or two that I'm in. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase doesn't go for 205 touchdowns. Maybe we do that.
Well, what helps him a lot is the Bengals having to always keep up with their opponent because their defense is terrible.
It is bad.
And maybe you think Dorian Thompson-Robinson is so bad that if the Browns can't move the ball, then maybe the Bengals don't actually have to throw the ball 50 times in this game.
One other thing, keep an eye on T. Higgins, who picked up an injury this week. He is dealing with a nagging injury.
And when he's had nagging injuries this year, he has sat. And I have wondered about contract stuff with him and that.
Yeah.
Like, you've talked about Chase with this. Like, Higgins, I feel like it's been happening. When he has anything nagging, he doesn't play. So, but we'll see if that is the same this week because they're fighting for their playoff lives.
He was limited limited with a rest/knee designation. Ben Baby says he is on track to play Sunday against Cleveland.
How would you feel about Jerry Jeudy in fantasy this week?
I would love it.
Because it's a new, it's not Jameis anymore.
Right, if it's Jameis, I'd love it. If it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson, that's tough.
But it's the Bengals, who are horrible, and he is, man, it would be tough to sit him. He is fifth in the NFL in receiving yards.
Jeudy, yeah.
He's already at 1,000 for the year.
Tennessee at Indianapolis, also a CBS early game. Don't have much to say about it. Don't care.
Well, in Indy, I really think Indy's live. Like, we've talked Bengals today. I could see Indy getting in. Like, if the Broncos drop two, I think the Colts might win all three of their final games, and then they are in. So,
okay,
we'll see. If Mason Rudolph's a little more competent, probably, than Will Levis as a challenge.
San Francisco at Miami in a CBS late game. That's the one that's up against Bills Patriots.
Same for Miami. Like, they got to win out, but.
Yep. Nance and Romo. That is. Miami, if they beat the Niners, it doesn't count because the Niners aren't good this year.
Yeah.
They're 6-8.
Quickly on the Niners. Have you seen they're already, they might be, already playing games with Brock Purdy's contract stuff? Like, they're getting accused of leaking Purdy's contract demands to the media right now. Like, they did this with Ayuk. Are they already playing contract games with their quarterback? We'll see if they pay him or not.
I mean, they played contract games with Brandon Ayuk.
They kind of done that with everybody recently.
They did it with
Trent Williams.
They did it with Debo. Debo demanded a trade.
Yep.
Before he got signed.
And they're already, it feels like it's already starting with Purdy.
Yep. Also up against Bills Patriots is Jacksonville at Las Vegas.
Cool. That's a first overall pick game right there.
Philadelphia, Washington.
Both top receivers in that game are going up against really tough matchups because I saw something about Marshon Lattimore shadowing A.J. Brown in this game, which did not happen the last time they played. Actually, Brown might not have even played the last time they played. And then McLaurin did nothing. His worst game of the year was the last time they played the Eagles.
Detroit at Chicago. Giants at Atlanta. That's Michael Penix. He gets a home game against a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona, Carolina. And then Minnesota, Seattle is the 4 o'clock late game.
Okay.
In the NFC.
Minnesota, Seattle's not bad. The Seahawks are fighting for, both teams are fighting for their division.
Yep. Sunday night football this week. I always forget to look.
Bucks and Cowboys,
I believe.
That's
right, Bucks, Cowboys.
Yeah, which is a bad game.
Yep.
The Bucks are good. I think the Buccaneers are good. Baker's been great all year. Mike Evans is incredible. And if you care about it, it's a streak. Evans trying to get to 1,000, which he has done every year of his career. He is back in that ballgame. Like, he had, what do you have last week? 159 last week, and now he has 749 with three games to go. So he needs 251
That's
yards in three games to continue his streak of 1,000 yards in every game.
He could do that. The Monday night game is Saints and Packers in Green Bay. And then two Saturday games. Don't forget those. We almost did. Texans-Chiefs, 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Mahomes playing or expected to play?
Expected to play. Steelers-Ravens, 4:30.
No Pickens.
That's bad for Pittsburgh. I just think they're a different team.
Yeah.
So there's your Super Great American Football Friday frenzy. Also,
college football.
Indiana-Notre Dame tonight. That's pretty good.
Yeah, how much do you like that they're going up against each other? I don't remember. I don't feel like it ever happens that often where you have huge college games going against late NFL games. Because usually when the NFL starts playing on Saturdays, the college games are done. Or you're just waiting for the national championship, which I don't even think is on a Saturday. But tomorrow you might have to decide, unless you're going to have multiple screen setups. Like, do I want to watch, hey, how's the Chief-Texan game going? If you're a Bills fan, you're probably picking that. But, oh, Clemson-Texas is, tied with a minute to go. Like, you might have to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinky Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To make a decision.
All right. Who am I rooting for in the college football playoff? Oregon. Probably Oregon.
Why? Because they've never won?
Yeah, I like their coach, and why not? Why not Oregon? Who else would you root for?
You know, Michigan.
Georgia? No. Boise State? Sure.
This might just be my own personal life that Michigan fans are starting to annoy me. I almost want to root for Ohio State to win the whole thing just because.
That's the grossest thing you've ever said. This is horrible.
Like, just.
Why would anybody want that?
I want to fight Michigan fans that want to tell me that, like, oh, our season was a success because we beat them, even if they win the national championship. I just kind of want that fight a little bit if they win the whole thing. But I'm not going to go all the way there because I do, like, Ryan Day as their coach, like, I don't like him. I don't like Ryan Day. So I can't get all the way there because I don't like the coach.
Ugh. Yeah, no thanks.
I'm rooting for Indiana. Why not? Have they ever been good at football? Like, at least Oregon has been great every year. Like, almost all these other teams have had, I think, some stretch of dominance. Like, in my life, I've never seen Indiana be good at football. I root for Indiana.
Yeah, do I want Indiana to beat Notre Dame? I don't hate Notre Dame. I really don't.
I hate Notre Dame, but I have a future bet on them that I've had for a couple weeks. And they are... If you heard Joe Ostrowski on this yesterday with Shope and Bulldog, like, their path is, like, the most favorable because they get Indiana to start, and then Georgia is at their backup quarterback, who they play in the second round. Like, the top three favorites, I think, in the college football playoff are all in the top half of the bracket. So it kind of sets up really nicely for Notre Dame, I guess.
All right. That's the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. It is Football Friday, of course, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash call Salino and by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Beep just ran over and let me know and just was like, hey, we're going. We're kicking. And I was like, perfect. And then looking over at their sideline, it was funny. They were confused what was going on. We talk about it every week, so it was a normal thing for us, but it's funny to watch. And then I was like, okay, ref, how much time we got? Went back over and got a little rep in the net and then was ready to roll.
Cameron Dicker kicked the first free kick field goal since 1976.
48 years?
Yeah. It had been attempted. I had remembered it being attempted a couple years ago. There was a clip of Harbaugh trying it when he was with the Niners from like 71 yards and it wasn't even close. So it had been attempted, but it hadn't been successfully, completed. It's Jeremy and Joe. Happy Football Friday. Get ready for the weekend. Snowing a little bit here. Nothing too crazy right now. The Notre Dame-Indiana game might have snow tonight, which I hope we do get because that'll be, I'm real excited for the college football playoff. We just talked about it a little bit, and I think I figured out how I got to do it. I got to find a coach I like to root for, because I just said, like, I'm getting blasted for, like, I kind of want to root for Ohio State, because I'm just, with every day that passes, I hate Michigan more and more. So, like, okay, well, Michigan hates Ohio State. Let me root for that. But I can't root for Ryan Day. I can't root for Ryan Day. I can't root for, someone said, I root for Penn State. They'll both get mad. I can't root for James Franklin. I can't root for Dabo Sweeney. I need to find a coach I like. And then maybe I'll find my way to having a rooting interest other than my Notre Dame bet. But I'm not rooting for Notre Dame. Anyways, Bills and Patriots, Sunday at 4:25, the one seed chase. And reminding ourselves of how much we loathe New England with the clip we played earlier. We should play it again in a moment here. Let's take some calls, though, first, because Jimmy in Miami has been waiting patiently. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. As they say in Miami, buenos dias. Okay, you guys were talking about the revenge game and with the Patriots. Now, and of course, all how Bills fans obsessed over the Patriots over the years, the Super Bowl wins and everything, and how nauseating it was. Now, it seems like the obsession has drifted over to the Chiefs, where I say it's like the Chiefs live rent-free in our heads now with everything they do. And it started with the 13-second game, like the image of Tyreek Hill catching that pass and then running by Tremaine Edmonds and then waving goodbye as he's heading towards the end zone. I mean, that is like in the corner of my mind, and it still lives there. You know, trading the 28th pick in the draft to the Chiefs, and then they get Xavier Worthy. And every time they win a game because of a blocked kick, you know, or a field goal that hits a post and goes through. And then, of course, you have the insufferable Nick Wright and his nauseating comments on TV about the Chiefs. It's there. It's rent-free. And the only way to beat it is you just got to beat the Chiefs every time there's a big game, and then you kill the psychosis. It's
yeah.
Like a Bills Mafia psychosis. But anyway, that's all I had, guys.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Jimmy. That's why I'm glad we had the clips today to remind me of how much I hate the Patriots, because I just don't. That's why I think it's cooled for me or simmered. I don't think about them ever. I think about Kansas City all the time. For a while, for a couple years, I've thought about Miami a lot because they're right there. They're pushing the Bills. They're not ever beating the Bills, which made it fun, but the record has been pretty good for a couple of seasons, so you're thinking about them more. New England's just been off here in the side. Like, I don't really care about week to week who they play because they're down in the bottom of the standings. I haven't really cared much about the results. Like, when the games are happening, you don't see a lot of them on Red Zone or whatnot because they're not getting put in national windows. They're not really scoring a lot of offense. You're not even seeing highlights. You just don't even think about them, which is good. It's all you needed was a refresher. Kansas City makes more sense, right? Because they're constantly on TV. They're constantly winning also. And there's debate about them and how good they are. Like, they're going to be right in front of your face all the time. That's what it is. But it's fun to revisit the New England hate this week. 803-0550. Dan in New Jersey on this. What's up, Dan?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, the hate for the Patriots for me is always boiling. I don't like the Chiefs, but at least I can respect them. I hate the Patriots. This week and in 2 weeks, the Patriots games, these are the biggest weeks of the year for me. I'm 35 today, my birthday. They gave me 17 plus years of pain. Tom Brady, Belichick, they're my boogeyman through high school, through college. It was Patriots, Patriots, Patriots. I love beating the Patriots. I'm so up for this game. I'm like Darth Vader. I go and look at highlights of everything they've done to us just to get angry again before we play the Patriots. So I was listening earlier and I talking yeah. about, you know, what you guys are talking. I'm all here for it. Like, I hate the Patriots. Let's go out and crush them. And then if we lock up the 2 seed by week 18, whatever it is, I actually hope the Patriots win. I want them to win 6 games a year so that they're always picking 15th. I want maximum pain for the Patriots. So anyways, that's all I got. Happy holidays, guys.
Love it. Thanks, Dan. Happy holidays. Happy birthday. Yeah, that maybe that's a good idea too. Watch some old, as painful as it sounds, you want to have a good weekend, right? Watch some old Brady against the Bills highlights. Just revisit it. Revisit the hate. Revisit the loathing. Revisit the Mac Jones 3-pass game that they won. And then this clip from after the game, which still is incredible.
The 11-month reign of the Buffalo Bills is over. It's over. Atop the AFC East, they're done. It was a
never
nice,
to return, maybe. Not,
didn't even last a calendar year. We're done. Bye-bye.
Again, they made them apply tongue to the hardened white turd on the playground by pressing their head down onto it. And that's unfortunate for the Bills, and they don't want to talk about it. I can appreciate that.
Oh. 42-16 the Bills are, with four division titles since that was said, since that day. New England 16-37.
This clip was saved on
at Belichick's in the ACC.
This clip was saved on December 27th of 2021. So, yeah, that's aged.
Over 3 years.
It's aged really well.
Nothing's ever aged worse. See if you could find, Josh, the clip of the same person, Michael Holly. This is like the NBC Boston post-game show from the Bills-Patriots win game. See if you can find him after the playoff game still trying to say the Bills aren't a good team after the perfect game. Like, the denial, New England having to come to grips with it was over was incredible to watch, especially after that right there. After that reaction to, oh no, the Bills' reign of 11 months is over, Belichick back on top. And then to realize, oh no, you were so wrong. You're clowns for believing that game was any form of reality. And to then have a playoff game where you scored a touchdown on every drive, and then the denial after was amazing. And then everything that's happened since, right? Everything that's happened since. All right, I'm back. I'm back to wanting, you're not even wanting, like needing to see the Bills beat New England by 50. Because when it was first flipping, those games were awesome. There was a one of the best games during the COVID season was a game in Foxborough that maybe the most memorable moment from it will be Belichick throwing the phone at the wall out of anger, losing his mind over some challenge, and the Bills won 38-9. Those games when it was first flipping. See, really, what it is, like, this has happened with Miami. The best of those are going to be when you're the leader, you're the kingpin of a division, like the Bills are right now. The sweetest feeling, as much as it'll be, you get up for this game on Sunday, you hate the Patriots, you want to see them lose, like, the Bills will probably beat them by a lot on Sunday. They're 14-point favorites. And that would feel great. And then we'll get right back to one seed talk and what did Kansas City do. Like, it'll be a quick burn, I feel like, because New England isn't worth thinking about. So they just put them back over here in the corner where they belong. The sweetest feelings are going to be as the Bills rule the division for years and years, when teams start thinking they're getting close and then they fall on their face. That's what happened in those first couple of years with New England. They were, you know, record-wise, they weren't bad. They made the playoffs. They were first in the division in December against the Bills. Thinking, right there, all those guys on TV thinking, oh, no, this is not even that they were close. They thought they were beyond the Bills again. But the idea that they're close and then they go to play them and it's just not even a contest. That's happened with Miami a couple times. Some of those Dolphin games have been close, but the ones where beginning of this season and the Dolphins are favored, and it's like, all right, here we go, division back on, and then the Bills smoke them. Or last year, early on in the season where the Dolphins win a game by scoring 70 points and they are like number one in all the power rankings, and Dolphin fans are probably thinking like, okay, we're the team to beat, we're the favorites. And then the reality check. That is what you really, I enjoy the most. I bet most fans enjoy the most is the reality check that the Bills can give their opponents in the division. And it is fun to beat the Patriots, no doubt. But you're not really giving them a reality check. They know they're bad now, I think. Then it was delusion. Now I think they got to know. Now they know that they're not supposed to beat the Bills. So, still fun, though. Still fun. And that's if they win. Listen, the Bills are almost, they're probably going to win. They're huge favorites. I am not expecting them to even have to really worry about it. I bet fourth quarter it's going to be out of hand. But, listen, they did lose a game to New England last year. And, like, how did that happen? I'll have to go back and watch some of that. They did lose a game to New England last year. It's the NFL. Anything could happen. But I'd be stunned. 803-0550. We'll wrap things up with Xendo Sports when we come back here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Xendo Sports.
All right, we played the clip of Michael Holley in the NBC Sports Boston guys from a couple years ago declaring the Bills' reign in the AFC East over. Here's the clip of them after the playoff game, at least one of them, still trying to say the Bills weren't a good team.
And it was almost like Buffalo was a proxy for all those AFC East teams the last decade and a half that have really taken a whipping from New England. They're like, oh, thank you. So thank you, Buffalo, for doing our work for us. We can't stand the success of the Patriots. We can't stand the arrogance of the Patriots. Finally, put it on them. All that being said, Tom, I still don't think Buffalo is that good. They were that good against New England.
What?
I don't. Yeah,
Wait a minute.
I told you beforehand.
That's an interesting statement.
Okay, what? But okay, guys, the numbers.
But the bottom line is, Buffalo did revel in doing this.
Sure, but don't we have to address the numbers, though? Don't we have to address the
That's
facts?
That's for next week.
No, we ain't going to be here next week.
We're not going to be here next week.
Here's what Buffalo does. This is a post-game show off the Patriots field. I'm asking. On them.
I care because she asked me about Buffalo and New England. That this tells you about New England and Buffalo. Buffalo, the fact that they're not that good and they're able
they
to do that
are
to you.
Good, Mike.
They're not Mike. Not Mike. Tom, they have beaten three playoff teams this year, two of them against the Patriots. Two wins
and
against the Patriots.
They lost to the Jets.
Oh, the denial. That, remember, was the night they had played a perfect game. What do we need? What do we need Sunday? 56-10. Worse than the perfect game, or better than the perfect game for the Bills. 56-10. Drake May is good. I don't think they're going to have much around him. All right. Sunday is going to be fun. Saturday is going to be great. Tomorrow, go Texans over the Chiefs. And all the college games, plus Steelers and Ravens, is so good. Man, tomorrow is one of the elite football days in recent memory. That isn't like championship Sunday or like a NFL playoff day. Like regular season NFL plus college football playoffs is amazing. Can't wait. Enjoy it. Stick around. Extra Point Show coming up next. Pat Hammer for the weather. Sean McDermott as well for the injuries and more. So stay tuned for Sal. Taking your phone calls at 803-0550 as well. It's Jeremy and Joe. Talk to you on Sunday from the stadium here in WGR.